Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
So the New York Jets are open for business. Apparently, when it comes to Sam Darnold, Chad Brown in for Stink today. They're open.
Chad Brown.
What'd I say?
You said Chad Brown. You gotta get the Pat McAfee. Chad Brown.
Oh! Chad Brown. Yes. Now he knows who you are, right?
I think so.
He didn't know who you were. Do you want to quickly tell the backstory on that one?
I broke the news on...
You did? You were a newsbreaker.
Matthew Stafford leaving
you
the Detroit Lions.
Called it, man.
I was quite empathetic based on the resource that I had and just general reading of the football tea leaves. And Pat McAfee came out on his show and was like, who's Chad Brown and what does he know?
Right.
Chad Brown.
And I think, there you go, see?
There it is.
And I think to give him a little bit of grace there, he wasn't thinking about Chad Brown, former Steeler linebacker, breaking football news. He was like, who's Chad Brown, this NFL reporter? He just didn't make the connection. There wasn't enough context. If someone said, hey, you know Chad Brown, the former Steeler, he would have said, of course.
Yeah, because he played in the league. You guys were in the league at the same time.
Right, but Chad Brown breaking news on Matt Stafford, was no context
there for him.
Yeah. All right.
So if he had made the connection, he wouldn't have said Chad Brown.
I don't think so, but it's definitely a funny drop. So it's
Chad Brown.
I'm happy it happened.
All right, so the general manager of the Jets, Joe Douglas, says, I will answer the call if it's made. Now, apparently there's a distinction. They're open to trading Sam Darnold, but not necessarily using him to trade for Deshaun Watson, let's say, which...
I don't even understand what that's about.
Exactly. I mean, I would think that if you are going to work out a deal with the Texans, why wouldn't you throw in Sam Darnold, right? I mean, I would think the Texans would probably ask for Sam Darnold in return.
We'll trade our starting quarterback, but we don't want your quarterback, who's better than our quarterback. That's why the Jets are awesome.
So he said, this is the full quote. As it pertains to Sam, we think Sam is a dynamic player in this league with unbelievable talent. He really has a chance to hit his outstanding potential moving forward. But if calls are made, I will answer them. All right. So where are you on Sam Darnold?
I think like most football observers, I think there's talent there to like, but obviously, the Jets have just been so lacking in talent, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, that it's almost impossible to do a real evaluation. You'd have to really do a deep dive into the film, I think, to get a good sense of where he is as a quarterback. But I think he's definitely going to be one of those guys who's going to need some quarterback rehab if he were to go to a new team. To expect him to come in and walk in there as the confident alpha dog you want your quarterback to be, that's been knocked out of him with the Jets. He's doubting himself. You can't help but doubt yourself as a quarterback when you've surrounded with such little talent and you've had such little success. So can he be the guy? I think he has the skill set to be the guy, but you are going to need a heck of a quarterback coach. You're going to need a heck of an offensive coordinator to put this guy in a position where he can be successful early so he can start to gain some of that confidence back.
You already have your hands full trying to get Drew Lock to make a leap. Now you want to add a guy in the mix that needs serious football rehab. My problem with Sam Darnold is he is what he is, and that's a guy that turns the football over. Going back to his days at USC, when in the 2 years that he was a starting quarterback, the starting quarterback at USC, he threw 22 interceptions. He threw 22 interceptions in 27 games. And now you look at what he's been in the NFL. He's played in 38 games. He's thrown 39 interceptions. I mean, the guy is almost I understand what I'm about to say. He is a turnover machine. He basically averages an interception per game. I get it. That's Drew Lock too this past year. But that's my point. Nobody was happy with what we saw from Lock when it came to turning the ball over. And you want to bring in a guy who not only in the pros, but in college had this kind of problem. No thanks. I'll pass.
I'm with you. I'll pass as well. I haven't heard anyone in town banging on the table for Sam Darnold. I think he's an intriguing prospect. I did a couple of his games for the Pac-12 Network. One game against Oregon State where he literally kept Oregon State in the game with two interceptions, I think, and two fumbles in that game.
But that's the other thing. He's fumbled 10 times in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Too.
But now he was like 24-32. Despite those interceptions, he was fantastic when he was on, but he gave the ball away four times, and literally Oregon State should not have been on the field with the Trojans, but he kept them single-handedly in that ball game. So the ability to do the quarterback basics of ball security just simply aren't there right now.
Do you think Sam Darnold and Drew Lock are very similar?
I think from a turnover perspective, they are.
How about a skill set?
I think Sam Darnold has a much higher ceiling than Drew Lock does.
Why?
He's a better athlete and just a better armed quarterback.
But does that really matter if you're making bad decisions?
Nope. Once you become a turnover-prone quarterback, that's the equalizer. Whether you're Jeff George with a cannon of an arm, mm-hmm. or you're Rich Gannon who can barely throw an out route because he's just so weak-armed, if you turn the ball over all the time, that makes you all the same.
Yeah, I would much rather... I go back to everything I've said about this whole quarterback situation is unless you can bring to me a guy that you can assure me will be better than what you think Locke will look like this year with an expected bump in improvement.
That's where Matt Stafford comes in. That's where Deshaun Watson
comes
in.
Right. But other than that, I'm not interested in Sam Darnold. I wasn't interested in Carson Wentz.
No Carson Wentz, please.
Mitch Trubisky, no. Marcus Mariota, no. Jameis Winston. I mean, all these guys.
No.
Unless you're going to be able to say this guy will clearly be better than what we think we can get from Locke in year three, what's the point?
Drew Locke isn't so bad that it's replacing all cost. It's replacing if something better comes along, and then you also have the opportunity, if you don't replace him, to build up the rest of your team. And the rest of the team needs building up. So it's not as if, you know, if you don't get a quarterback, there's nothing else to do. George Payton has a long list of things to do. If you get the quarterback, great. If not, build up these other parts, particularly the cornerback position.
And based on your experience as a defensive player, I mean, can quarterbacks kind of change their stripes? Can they go from being a guy that was a real turnover prone guy to one that becomes really, you know, safe with the ball and judicious with the ball, things like that?
Jameis Winston doesn't go from 30 interceptions down to 5 just because, oh, I watched some tape and I realized what I was doing wrong.
No, and hang around with Drew Brees.
That's who you are. You sling the ball around the yard. You did it at Florida State. This is in your DNA. And to your point about Sam Darnold, it appears to be in his DNA as well.
Jameis Winston, 76 games as a pro, 88 interceptions.
Yeah, Tampa Bay replaces Jameis Winston. Now they're holding a Lombardi trophy.
And tossing it.
But tossing it well.
And tossing it from boat to boat. Okay, we've got coming up, Justin Simmons. Sounds like a guy who wants to stay. Is this a slam dunk, and what are we waiting on? That's coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com. HMotors.com.
Chad Brown. I think you gotta play that every
Chad Brown.
Every segment there, Millennial Ben. Sitting in for Stink. We got Four Down Territory coming up at 7:30. As always, encourage your text on the Ramoslaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. So Justin Simmons on Sirius XM NFL radio yesterday talking about how he really wants to make it work with the Broncos.
you know, I'm really expecting, out of all the things that I've heard, you know, and I haven't really gotten a chance to talk to, you know, George Payton in depth. It was really just, you know, called to let me know how excited he was, you know, for the job, you know, how important culture is going to be moving forward, you know, all that stuff. And then mainly just, you know, just there talking and saying, like, you know, just introducing himself. But from everything that, you know, I've heard and that I've been a part of, you know, for the past, it had been 5 years now. You know, it seems like Denver wants me back, and I want to be there. I know everyone knows that, you know, at the end of the day, it is a business. It's just a matter of it working out on both sides, and that's just the business aspect of the game.
Okay, he wants to be here.
Yep.
I know the Broncos want him here. The question is, can they arrive at a number? And do you see red flags at all that, you know, he's already played on a franchise tag? The fact that we're this deep into the process that they still haven't been able to work out a long-term deal, does that give you pause about whether or not this can ultimately be done long-term? He's not going anywhere this year. I mean, at worst, he plays on a franchise tag again this year. But where would you place your confidence, odds, 80%, 70, 40, whatever, that he signs a long-term deal here in the next couple of months?
I'll go with 75%. So a three-quarters chance that, yes, he is a long-term Denver Bronco. To your point, what are the red flags? Is he a bad dude in the community? No, he's fantastic. Is he a bad spokesman for the team? No, he's fantastic. Wins, losses, he stands up in front of the cameras.
Yep.
Is he lacking durability? No, he plays 100% of the plays. I think the only quibbling point is he a true playmaking safety? And does he deserve top three safety, top two safety money because of the lack of true playmaking skills like a Matthews or a Baker? If that's your only quibble, then you make the offer as close as you can and you try to get this done.
Okay. I don't run a business. You run a business.
Yes.
So you tell me if I'm wrong about this. But the way I look at it is that when you're the Denver Broncos and you're in the situation you've been in for the last handful of years, you're trying to gain relevance again. You're trying to gain credibility. You're trying to build a culture. And to me, Justin Simmons is the poster child for everything you want out of a Bronco that you draft and develop. He's right out of central casting. So if that means that I need to perhaps overpay for that, then I need to do that. I'm not in a position right now where I have to assign a value to every player, and that's a line that I've drawn that I will not cross. I think in this case, the Broncos have to overpay for the fact that we are who we are right now. We need more players like him. And if that means we have to suck it up and maybe pay a little bit more than we believe we should to keep him happy, to keep him here long term, we need to do it. Now, to me, that sounds like that's smart. You're a businessman. Is that the way you can run a business?
George Payton is not beholden to John Elway's deals or John Elway's past. He's going to operate his way. So that's a little bit of a monkey wrench in your
thoughts.
You're
telling me, though, that George Payton isn't going to be looking for Justin Simmons types when he goes out and drafts his first class of Broncos?
Oh, I think he certainly is.
Okay.
But you're saying this guy has done everything right. He's done this. He's done that. You know, we're trying to build something here. George Payton's building vision is different than John Elway's building vision. Does players like Justin Simmons help you build some? Of course it does. But his plan could be quite different than what, you know, the plan was literally 3 months ago.
Well, Simmons does acknowledge that he is dealing with a different guy now in Payton.
I wish I could give a percentage. It's tough just because there's new management, right? Like, Elway stepped away from the GM position. You know, Payton's in. This is his first GM, you know, position being coming from the Vikings. And so it's just unsure of, you know, what there is to expect. Like, maybe I have a little bit of an idea, you know, if Elway was still, you know, GM and kind of running the show from that regard. But just because it's like, it's just a whole new GM and the way he wants to operate, the way he wants to run things and the way he wants to get the program, you know, and the organization to the standard of what he sees fit. It's just a lot of uncertainty. And so all I know is, you know, like what I said in the beginning, I know I wanted to be there. I've expressed that, you know, the last time, you know, the last year when I got tagged, expressed that, you know, this off season, you know, just from everywhere else and hearing, you know, that they obviously, would want me back as well. And that's pretty much all I know at that point.
George Payton, I know he is armed with a 6-year contract, which buys him time to do his thing. But let's be honest, right off the bat, there were two major issues that he's confronted with that will really dictate what kind of first impression he makes to Broncos country. You know what they say about first impressions? You only get one shot at it. And how he handles the quarterback situation this offseason, and to me, how he handles Justin Simmons. If you can't work out a long-term deal with Justin Simmons, who seemingly has everything you want in a Bronco moving forward, then I got to question whether or not this is the right guy.
Wow.
Yeah. Come on. Justin Simmons is a long-term Bronco. Doesn't that just flow right off?
It should.
The tongue, isn't it easy? Isn't that a no-brainer?
And as you said, you've got salary cap room. You're trying to rebuild your team. Here's a guy who culturally would be a great fit for the rebuilding process, who does it all right, community, press-wise, media-wise, durable, all those things. Why wouldn't you just be willing to overpay this guy? But from a George Payton perspective, you want your first deal to be an overpaying deal? That's what you want?
Who's gonna make a big deal about that?
Other GMs, ownership, the budget office. There's all those things he's got to answer to as well.
You know what? You overpay a little bit for Justin Simmons and you make it up somewhere else.
All right. Fair enough.
Right?
We solved the issue.
We just solved the issue.
Thank you.
Simple as that. Four down territory coming up next. Baker Mayfield is a loon. Details.
Be quiet. I'm answering the question.
This is four down territory.
Let's talk football.
Push the play. 69. Offense. He's giving them the business.
That guy's pretty good. If you like 6'5", 230-pound quarterbacks, laser, rocket arms.
It's my quarterback. And if you guys do it, man, it's not fair.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Chicken bone, you taste so good.
Ready, bread. First down.
You know, it seems like Denver wants me back, and I want to be there. I know everyone knows that, you know, at the end of the day, it is a business. It's just a matter of it working out on both sides, and that's just the business aspect of the game.
Justin Simmons talking about his situation with the Broncos on SiriusXM NFL Radio. Chad Brown in for Stank. And, you know, we talk about all of this and George Payton and Justin Simmons and, you know, how do you get a deal done and how should he be viewed? How much of this is just every NFL team got the news about where the cap is and where it could be going and the idea that it will be less than it was last year, and also the idea that they're still waiting on these TV deals? Is NFL business just in a state of limbo right now until we find out what the TV deals are?
I think so. I mean, obviously, J.J. Watt deal happened, but I think, yeah, there's a little bit of a waiting period. In the next week or two, the activity is going to explode once some of these things are known. Now, I'm hearing that the salary cap may be not as badly affected as people thought, so that will loosen things up quite a bit.
Well, look, if these TV deals are rumored to be 70 to 100% increases on what they already were.
Football.
Which were in the billions.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Football is king, man.
I always chuckle when people are like, oh, well, football ratings were down. Oh, people are turned off by... No, they're not. They are. Yeah. James Merrillat likes to talk about Teflon.
Football is Teflon. Football. I'm not watching football. Those players kneel.
The NFL is coated. Coated. Dripping with Teflon. Next in four down territory.
Second down. I will answer the call, you know, if it's made. As it pertains to Sam, I mean, Sam's we think, a dynamic player in this league with unbelievable talent, and who's really, really has a chance to really hit his outstanding potential moving forward. But, you know, like I said earlier, if calls are made, I will answer them.
Now, that's Joe Douglas, the Jets general manager, and file that quote away with the next story we have coming up in four down territory, because they're kind of the same. But How do you go on and say all these wonderful things about Sam Darnold and then say, but we're willing to listen?
Both are true. Sam Darnold is a very talented player, but I think the Jets are looking to start over again.
Okay, everybody listens. I get it. You're a GM. You get a chance to play real-life fantasy football, right?
Right.
Of course you're going to listen. But if you're making a comment like that, you're more than just, yeah, hey, it's my job to answer the phone and make some phone calls. You're actively looking to do it, right?
Well, the Jets are open for business.
Right.
Outside of Mekhi Becton, the first-round tackle they took last year, I think every player on the Jets is open for an offer.
So you expect the Jets to take a quarterback, Zach Wilson going to the Jets at two?
Yeah. It's hard to rebuild your team when you got to rebuild your quarterback at the same time. I think to bring in somebody new, start fresh, is probably the way for them to go.
But boy, it's evidence again of when you blow it on a first-round quarterback.
But they didn't blow it. It's not the quarterback's. This is not Sam Darnold's fault.
What?
This is not.
Of course it is.
The state of the Jets is not Sam Darnold's fault. The state of the Jets is the Jets management fault.
Why do we never make... How is it? Explain to me how the quarterback is universally viewed as the most important position, not only in football, but in all of sports. But yet, when things don't go right for a football team, the quarterback is absolved. It's not Matthew Stafford's fault that he couldn't win Detroit. It's not Deshaun Watson's fault he went 4-12.
It's not
Sam Darnold's fault. But yet, when the team wins, the quarterback gets all the credit.
If the Jets won with a power running game, I wouldn't give Sam Darnold all the credit. I would rely on the football realities of the situation. Their best player offensively was Robbie Anderson 2 years ago. He's playing with the Carolina Panthers now. They don't have talent at the skill positions offensively. The one offensive lineman, Mekhi Becton, was pretty good, and he was hurt most of last year.
But thank you for making my point. Now all of a sudden you're saying, well, if you have all those things in place, then your quarterback could be really good, which kind of diminishes the idea
you're roping me into this one.
I'm not doing it. I do not want to mention he who shall not be named today. I'm trying to have a you know who free day today. On one hand, I'm told quarterback means everything, and yet on the other hand, well, he's only going to be as good as his supporting cast. Well, what is it? Does the quarterback lift all boats, or is he simply dependent upon everything around him?
This is a chewier topic than we have for this segment. Right. We'll
chew on this a little bit later. Next on Four Down Territory.
Third Down. I think Derek Carr had his best year yet under John Gruden. I think he's one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, and we couldn't be happier with him. And I tell you, every year, I mean, we evaluate every position every year. I have no idea who might call me or who might not call me. But if you're asking me about Derek, I mean, I think John and I would both stand shoulder to shoulder and pound the table for Derek Carr.
Okay, there's Mike Mayock. Now, is Mike Mayock saying exactly the same thing as Joe Douglas, or is it the Jets are open for business? And this is actually a vote of confidence for Carr.
They're saying the same thing, just Mike Mayock, because of his TV experience, did a way better job than Joe Douglas of playing both sides of it. Yeah, I love him. Pound the table for him. Hey, I can't tell you who's going to call. I can't tell you that. I mean, he's clearly open for business as well. There's no other way to take that. If Mike Mayock thought Derek Carr and his camp were going to be happy with that quote-unquote vote of confidence, Michael Mayock needs to reevaluate his words then, because that was a poor job if that was his intentions.
All right. Sam Darnold and Derek Carr, are they both with the Jets and Raiders next year?
At least one is gone, and most likely Sam Darnold.
Okay. Yeah, I think Derek Carr has got to use your odds, I think he's got an 80% chance of being the Raiders quarterback next year. Okay, mm-hmm. Fair enough. Next in Four Down Territory.
Fourth Down. All right, Beatrice. There was no alien. Flash of light you saw in the sky was not a UFO. Swamp gas from a weather balloon was trapped in a thermal pocket and refracted the light from Venus.
All right, Baker Mayfield. Here we go. Baker Mayfield has tweeted out. Here it is. Almost 100% M, his wife Emily. M and I just saw a UFO drop straight out of the sky on our way home from dinner. We stopped and looked at each other and asked if either of us saw it. Very bright ball of light going straight down out of the sky towards Lake Travis. Anybody else witness this? Baker Mayfield is seeing UFOs.
He's a UFO hunter.
I don't. Now, listen. Do I believe we're alone out here? Heck no. Do I believe in extraterrestrial beings? Heck yes. All that said, I don't know if I'm Baker Mayfield and I'm trying to get a long-term contract out of the Cleveland Browns if I want to be talking about aliens.
I would agree with that. And the first two words, almost 100%. The weather balloon, refracted light from the moon kind of thing. There's usually a, you know, Occam's razor, you know, easier explanation than other than some green aliens coming down in the flying saucer kind of thing. And Baker Mayfield, yes, you certainly want to be seen as a logically thinking dude, because the Cleveland Browns are prepared to give you $100+ million. So.
You think they will?
Cut the UFO
talk. Think they will?
Oh yeah.
They have no choice.
They like Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, they have no choice.
Yeah.
Plus, you have no choice.
That's
the other thing. You have no choice. Okay. That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. As Chad said, there are some topics that came up there during Four Down Territory we need to chew on a little bit more. And we love Story Time with Stink. We're going to do Story Time with Chad involving a classic that involves Bill Cowher. And that's coming up next.
Well, I didn't love the hit. I mean, you know, Nate turns up the ice. The guy's coming from quite a distance and catches him, you know, high. You know, so obviously I don't like that. But, yeah, I saw him coming off the ice. He was in the hallway. Seems to be doing good. I think that, you know, we get lucky on it. You know, hopefully he's feeling good and everything tomorrow. But as of right now, he seems to be fine.
Whew! Giant sigh of relief there from Jared Bednar after Nathan MacKinnon took a hit up high to the shoulder head area that forced him out of the game. The San Jose player was penalized.
Yeah,
for
it should have been. That was like classic targeting.
Yeah. Oh, that guy had him lined up.
Yeah, he had bad intentions
for a while,
for sure.
Now he did lead with the shoulder, but he definitely went high. So it looks like McKinnon's going to be okay. The big story for the Avalanche was, and this leads to a story time with Chad moment coming up here, is that the Avalanche had one of those team meetings yesterday. And clearly when you hold a team meeting, something's not right. So they held a team meeting yesterday, and Jared Bednar said there were, quote, some to-the-point, honest, and fair, end quote, questions and discussions. Brandon Saad said, quote, the biggest thing is just consistency, knowing how good we can be when we show up to play. Other players commented about the need for more consistency. To me, my read on it is that this is an Avalanche team that came in with huge expectations. They were the popular and are the popular choice to even win the Stanley Cup. And I think this is a team that maybe came out of the gate a little complacent reading their press clippings. And they've been really kind of a inconsistent, ordinary team thus far. They've underachieved flat out. And I think this was the purpose of the meeting. And they go out and they respond and they win 4-0. And I'm just waiting. This is a team that's just going to rip off a 7-game winning streak here very soon. I'm just waiting for it. I think it's inevitable. But the idea of the team meeting, do they work?
Team meetings do have an effect. But I think you always have to be careful with that effect because it's not a well you can just dip into. You know, too frequently. There's a, within the locker room, there's a certain bit of tolerance before guys start shutting you out. So it's as a coach, you can't go to that well too often. Otherwise, it's just going to run dry for you.
George Karl once said, I have about 3 to 4 times during a season I can really do that. You know, where I can really air out my team. In hockey, you know, they have this thing called bag skates where as a coach, you get so upset with your team. You just say, line up the buckets at the end of the rink. We're just going to skate all day. And it's a punishment. It's a punishment practice. And, but, you know, coaches will tell you they can only do that a couple times a year. You can't go to that too often. Otherwise you lose your team. And you had, an example of that in your Pittsburgh days with Bill Cowher?
Yeah. So I think if you're a longtime coach like Bill Cowher, like George Karl, you recognize you've got these limited opportunities to pull these tricks. And in my 14th year, I got a chance to spend some time with Bill Cowher and just kind of see behind the scenes a little bit. And he keeps a notebook every year, and writes notes in it every single day. But on his desk in his office, he's got a pile of notebooks from the previous years. And if it's week six, he is going to look back at week six last year and the 3 or 4 years before that. And if you're playing the Ravens, he's going to look back at his notes for the Ravens weeks and kind of compile his messaging and all of that. And it was always weird around week six, my first 4 years in Pittsburgh. And I didn't notice it until I went back 10 years later in year 14. Around week six, we would have a Wednesday practice, whereas we are literally walking on the practice field and Bill's just making faces and you can tell he's just all irritated.
The chin is really jutting out.
The chin is jutting out. He's doing his, Dr. Spock fingers and he's kind of, you know, pointing around. And no matter what happened, at some point he would lose his cool, throw his practice notes on the ground. We're starting this practice over all the way from stretch. And he would yell to Chet, the strength coach, line him up, Chet. We're starting over from stretch. And we would literally have to start practice over from stretch. Year 14, I've got enough time, experience, wisdom in the NFL to know, oh, this is your little trick that you do every year around week six to get us all refocused. And get us all a little bit afraid of Bill again. And get us all a little bit fearful again. What's Bill going to do? Is he going to make us start over from stretch? Add 15 more minutes to practice. This is why coaches' messages fall flat after a certain period of time.
Right.
Because guys are around long enough. And the guys begin to roll their eyes at this. But for the first 4 years, I couldn't put it all together. It took me coming back 10 years later with all that wisdom and experience to go, ah, I see what you're
but
doing.
But as a young player, you were like, it, the message got through, right? And
yes, because that 9-on-7 period that happened right after stretch was perhaps the most physical 9-on-7 period we had all year long. It ratcheted up it had the desired effect.
But you can't go to that too often.
You cannot go to the well too often.
Then it exhausts your players, or they just tune you out. They just eye roll.
Maybe he would be able to pull that out. Maybe not the whole start over from stretch, but we're going to start this period over. Maybe somewhere week 14 or 15 before the playoffs, get us refocused again kind of thing. Yeah, but as a coach, you've only got so many cards to play, and you got to be very careful when and how you play them.
Okay, why do you have to be careful, though? Because you're talking about you guys as professionals being treated a certain way, and you guys are like, eye roll, like, come on, really? But yet, the same guy, you, as a high school player, let's say, or even college, you could play for a coach who was a complete tyrant, who did it every single day, and it was just part of the deal. And you understood it, you respected the coach, you feared the coach, you weren't there eye rolling there. Why all of a sudden does it get to a point where the coach has to pick and choose when he can actually be tough on you guys?
Because the guys in the NFL or NBA or NHL locker room are grown blank men. It does matter.
Really?
It does matter.
It matters if you're not putting in extra work. You're not being professional enough. You're not taking it seriously enough. You're not spending extra time. You're not doing the things you're supposed to do, that you're supposed to get a pass on that just because you're a grown man.
Well, not that there's a pass, but there's only so much punishment or berating in a team meeting than a grown blank man can take.
But what if you deserve it? What if you've asked for it based on your behavior and performance?
You as a coach recognize that you are getting to the point of diminishing returns. And soon you'll start losing guys in the locker room. Whether it's deserved or not, there's going to be a ever-growing percentage of guys who start tuning you out and start thinking, not, you know what, coach is right. In their mind, it goes to, coach is tripping. Then, man, coach is wrong. Coach is a blank hole.
Mm-hmm.
F coach.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't listening to that blank. So that's the progression that happens if you start going to those kind of things.
Even if he's got some reasons to be able to point to and say, this is why I'm getting upset all the time.
Even a coach like Bill Belichick, who could not have more skins on the wall, to steal a John Fox phrase, could not have more backup to what he's trying to, you know, communicate. Even he can't dig into that well too often. It runs dry.
Well, then you're describing then a professional sports team that has a broken culture.
No.
You're doomed. You're doomed then.
If it's that bad where he has desire to go through, yes, the season has gone off the rails.
Right.
Coaches want to try to keep it light. I did a coaching internship with Seattle and Pete Carroll. He was the most keep it light, keep it fun guy around. And sometimes I thought, you guys need to be a little bit more serious around here. You need to let these players know where some things are, because I was coming from, you know, the Patriots, and I was coming from Bill Cowher, where the words were very rarely minced. Guys didn't hold back. But that's Pete's program.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it light, keep it positive. That's the best way to get the best out of everybody. Make it fun to work here rather than an atmosphere when you walk in the door. Am I going to get yelled at? Are we going to have... Sometimes Bill Belichick would make us run laps. You jump off sides, run laps. It happens twice in the period. The whole team, not just the offense that jumped off sides, the whole team's got to run laps. And as you're running laps, everybody's complaining and moaning as they're jogging around the field. You can only do that so often before you start to lose grown men. I'm a grown man. I make millions of dollars a year. You really going to punish me? Kidding me?
So what am I supposed to do if you millionaires keep jumping off sides?
Well,
just eat it?
Then you as a coach get fired. This is the story of the Jets. This is a story of bad franchises where they can't get it right. A coach comes in, wants to earn the players' respect, wants to build a culture. The culture's bad. The players are bad. They can't play well, and the coach gets fired.
Let's get to some of your texts. We got question Chad coming up in a couple of minutes. On the Ramoslaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Evan, stop being so alarmist. We're a rabid fan base, but realistic. Anyone thinking that George Payton's in a must-win off-season situation is wearing clown shoes. Relax. Okay, is that...
No.
Is that your read on Broncos country? Is this a patient, hey, we're prepared to sit back. We know you have a six-year deal. We know that ownership is in flux, and it could be changing here in the next year or two. We're prepared to take the long view. You get that sense?
I've known you a long time, Mike. I've never seen you in clown shoes. Dad sneakers.
Yes. Yes.
But no
yes.
clown
that,
shoes.
I've tried to move on from that, by the way. That was a phase
okay,
in my life.
Your Under Armour's you're wearing right now are a little bit better.
Yeah,
than
I'm trying,
so dad-ish.
I'm trying to move on from the, you know, the white New Balances.
you
swear to God, I see some people wearing those and I'm just like,
sometimes,
what were you thinking?
At the Super Bowl, you know,
great, they were only $19, but was it really worth it?
We're all hanging out at the Super Bowl. I wouldn't even have to look at the top of the table. I could just look under the table and know who was Mike by the dad sneakers.
Hey, man, I was trying to save some money.
It works.
Yeah, it worked.
It showed everybody else you were trying to save some money,
yeah, that's
too.
That's right. That's right.
Broncos country. No, this is not a patient fan base. They're not. The only time I hear patience really is when they're talking about, let's have some patience with Drew Lock. Is the only time I hear patience, the patience mantra.
Is there something that Peyton can or cannot do that would already have Bronco fans out there saying, I don't know if this is the right guy?
I think even moving on from Von Miller, folks would recognize that
right.
where he is, and this is a football savvy enough town to where, yes, there would be some pushback, but at the same time, other folks who would recognize, that's probably the right football move.
Right.
Yeah.
If you don't work out a long-term deal with Simmons?
Even that, I don't think so. Here in Denver, there's a tendency to fall in love with these players. And not all of them deserve the love as far as stacking up with other players around the league. Justin Simmons is not in that category. I think he deserves the accolades that he's gotten locally and nationally. But sometimes Broncos country, you know, particularly around training camp, oh my gosh, did you see Devontae Busby? Did you see this? Did you see this play he made at practice? And there's this thing where they fall in love with these guys. It's just unwarranted from where they are rankings-wise with other players in a position around the league. So I think this is not the case with Justin Simmons. He deserves it. And if George Payton were to not re-sign him, I think there'd be more pushback than it would be like, I understand why.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.